Within the Christian tradition, we stand at the threshold of the season of Advent. This is a season in which we await the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. It is a season of preparation for the celebration of Christmas. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, Advent begins with St. Martin's Day, which is the 11th of November. In the Western tradition, Advent begins with the Sunday nearest to St. Andrew's Day, which is the 30th of November. It is not clear at what precise date the season of Advent began to be observed. In what may have been an early acknowledgement of the season of Advent, the Council of Saragossa in 380 of the Common Era forbade the faithful to be absent from church during the 3 weeks from December 17th to Epiphany. The first authoritative mention of Advent came in the Synod of Lerida in 524 of the Common Era. And since the 6th century, Advent has been recognized as the beginning of the ecclesiastical year. Advent served early on as a period of strict fasting, but later tradition has relaxed this feature, and in the Roman Catholic Church, Advent is still observed as a time of penitence. A familiar symbol that is frequently observed both in churches and in homes is the Advent wreath, which contains 4 candles. These candles are lighted, one on each of the 4 Sundays that precede Christmas. And more recently, a further development of that symbol has been a 5th candle that has been added to the 4. The 5th candle is usually a taller taper, white in color, and this is called the Christ candle. Now, this candle is lighted in the churches either on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day at an appropriate service of worship. But the ecclesiastical year then begins with Advent and continues with Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost. Thus, the ecclesiastical or church year is entirely out of kilter with the calendar year, or the various so-called fiscal years, or even the seasonal year as determined by the Earth's rotation about the sun. It is rather an odd alignment of time, which is based upon the perceived format of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. In Advent, we anticipate and prepare for the birth of Jesus. In Epiphany, we commemorate the coming of the Magi, or the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. And of course, during Lent, we remember the events and the suffering which precede the death of Christ. And at Easter, we lament his death and rejoice in his resurrection. At Pentecost, we commemorate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And thus, Christian tradition takes time exceedingly seriously. The time of Advent is unfortunately a time which is overshadowed by the world of commercial values. And though the expectation of the birth of a Savior is barely acknowledged, it is overwhelmed by the excitement of holiday festivities, parties, family gatherings, galas of every imaginable variety. But what a contrast with the strict fasting which was characteristic of Advent in its earliest form. Commercially, of course, Advent, or the Christmas season as it is generally known, is a period which is widely acknowledged as a make or break time for retail sales in general. Merchants who cannot account for 50% of their annual sales during the Christmas season are often in danger of being forced out of business. In fact, our nation's economy depends upon a strong merchandising performance during this period. The commercial dimension is, of course, driven by traditions which have nothing to do with Advent. The Christmas tree, for example, whose most recent adaptation is the Christman tree. Santa Claus is another formidable competitor in the commercial domination of the Advent season. It is worth noting that Santa is located geographically at the North Pole. The apocalyptic writers in the Old Testament, virtually without exception, describe the great threat to the continued well-being of Judah as an enemy from the north, a warning that I think certainly lends credence to their prophetic writings. But in the midst of this commercial melee, which seems to begin earlier each year, the Christian must remember the real significance of Advent. The sense of anticipation which underlies this season is reflected in the Old Testament passages read to us this morning. It is seen in these words from Isaiah: "He has sent me to bring good news to the lowly, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor." Now, this is the passage from Isaiah, which Jesus read to the worshipers in the synagogue in Nazareth. And according to Luke, these words were for Jesus the first public proclamation of the nature of his ministry. But anticipation is also evident in these words of the psalmist: "How happy is he whose hope is placed in Yahweh his God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is therein, who preserves fidelity forever, who renders justice to the oppressed, and who gives bread to the hungry." The longings portrayed in these words describe much of the spectrum of human desire. One line in Isaiah captures so much of what our tradition longs for, namely to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor. Each year begins with the hope that this new year will indeed be blessed with God's favor. It will mark a new beginning in which the needs of human beings will be granted through God's favor. The new beginning itself is filled with promise. There is a quality which sets it apart from all that has passed. The church year begins with the somber realization that as the drama of the new year unfolds, it is a drama of waiting. As we rehearse the various stages of the church year, we are waiting, longing for some tangible sign that the kingdom of God is finally in our midst. And while we wait, we mark time by rehearsing each step in our annual recital, as if somewhere in the process, somewhere between Pentecost and Advent, the promised coming of God's kingdom will occur, and we will recognize it and be a part of it. And so we wait. Waiting is not easy, and though we are conditioned to it, we do not do it well. We are impatient, and sometimes our wanting overwhelms our waiting. We who are citizens of Eastern Europe are now voting for the first time, asserting our wills in a way not known or tolerated heretofore. After 70 years on the road to nowhere, we will no longer wait for an economic promise of prosperity that manifests itself only in empty shells. We who reside in the townships of South Africa are no longer willing to wait for a quality of life that never seems to fall within our grasp. And even though our frustrations seem to accomplish little more than the suffering and death of our fellow citizens, we will wait no longer. We who suffer from incurable diseases and lament the dreadfully slow pace of medical progress can only scream in silence, with a scream the depth of whose pain far exceeds the range of its sound. And yet we wait. For those of us within the Christian tradition, Advent provides a more promising context for our waiting. We are waiting for the fullness of time. And while we wait for a second coming, a rehearsal of the first coming will comfort us, will reassure us, will inform us of who we are and of why we wait. And we need that. We remember and reread and rehearse those words of expectation. We repeat to ourselves and to each other those words of promise that enable us to wait. But Advent is not without end. The fullness of time will indeed overtake us, both when it is expected and when it is not expected. It can arrive on schedule, ahead of schedule, or completely apart from schedule. When are we to expect this fullness of time? Will it be on December 25th, as our calendars warn us? Or could it be on January the 6th, as another tradition holds? Or will it be during the evening of December 24th? And could it possibly be on the morning of November 29th? Let us pray. Enable us to endure the agony of waiting. Comfort us with the reassurance of Advent. Prepare us for the expected and the unexpected coming of the fullness of time. And throughout the Advent of our lives, teach us to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, and to wait with those who wait.